Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Zoe here. If you're watching along with us, you may have noticed the show isn't available on Netflix anymore. Don't fear. Starting April 17th, every episode of New Girl will be available on Peacock and Hulu. So get your cookies and give a cookie to your bestie by continuing to watch along as we recap the series we all love so much. Okay, let's get into the show.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
All right, hello, and welcome to our show. How was that? Was it sexy enough or too sexy?
Very sexy.
Very sexy.
Welcome to our show.
So today we're talking about episode 207, Menzies.
Menzies. I've never heard that shortened term for menstruation, by the way. I have my menzies. Have you ever heard that before?
I had heard it, but it's not something I had heard regularly. I'll admit to that. I definitely heard it, but it wasn't commonly used. Can I just say, first of all, that I happen to have the only scene I've ever shown my kids from New Girl is this puppy in a cup scene. And it happened to be like a few days ago before I even realized this is the episode we were doing today. And I showed it to them because they had found a picture of a Pomeranian in a cup and they were freaking out over how cute it was. And I was like, wait, just a second. Let me show you something. And it was really funny to watch them because they like got the comedy of the scene, even though they're little, you know. It was cool to see. You know?
Did they get sad when they realized that the puppy is dead?
Yeah.
I was just about to say, Charlie's so little.
His eyes were watering. Yeah, it was really, I was like, and they were like, but it's fake, right? That's fake, right? It's not real.
A real dog. Like,
it's
that not dog real. Is alive.
That dog's totally alive. I mean, in theory.
We're just going to say
and
it.
And it was just pretend and not real. it was cute. Yeah, it was cute. Yeah, so I love this episode. Such a fun episode. And you know what? Like, it's probably going to be banned in Florida soon. So, like, let's chat about it. Did you hear about this?
What? Why?
Guys.
Tell me.
Apparently, girls aren't allowed to talk about menstruation in school in Florida. Like, or this is like something that's being proposed right now. It's something that's being proposed that girls should not be allowed to talk about menstruation except in sex ed from like 6th to 12th grade. But like, say a girl starts menstruating before the age of 11 or 12, then they're SOL. So, because they're not allowed to talk about it. Not sure what harm can come from talking about menstruation, but, you know.
I don't really, I've never understood it at all. It's how we all are here on the planet because of this absolutely normal human bodily function that helps us create life, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so bizarre to ban. What?
Yeah. Again.
Oh, my head hurts.
It's bananas to me, but I digress.
Well, I'm glad that we're going to talk about menzies loudly then today.
We're going to talk about menzies loudly and hope everyone in Florida is listening and, hopefully this proposed bill does not come to fruition.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed getting to revisit this episode. It was written by Kim Rosenstock, directed by Jason Walliner. What do you remember about this episode, Hannah?
Honestly, when I rewatched it, I think so far in our podcast, this is the one that made me laugh out loud multiple times and caught me off guard because I had forgotten that all three of you end up in the water massage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it just, I started out, like, I died laughing with Jake. But then when you're in there, I don't know, the way he was handling you was so funny. And then to put Lamorne in there in the tag, I just lost it. It was just such a funny running thing to squeeze in 21 minutes. Because I wasn't part of
it. It was a random, like, you know what's funny is it was kind of a random, like, it feels kind of out of left field, but then it really works. But I guess, now looking at it again, I'm kind of recalling that, I don't know if you remember this, maybe because you weren't in this part, so you might not remember, but that it had a different ending in the original table read, and they were trying to figure out the ending, and they added this whole Tran piece with the like water massage at like partway through the week. They were like, okay, we figured it out. It's a water massage. And I remember Jake was like, wait, what? Because it does feel out of left field, but then it, you know what? It totally works. And it introduces one of our favorite running characters, Tran. And it's really a funny bit. So, and you know what? I really enjoyed this episode because it's kind of an exploration of sensitivity and, like all of our emotional lives.
Yeah. It was just, there's a line that Jake says where he's been asked to take off his clothes. And then all of a sudden you cut to him in the water and he goes, this is a moment that got away from me. And then you can see that on your face when it's happening. And then on Lamorne's face when it's happening, man. And we've all had those things. We're like, you know what? I'm going to surrender to the thing. I'm going to do it. Especially with all this like new age woo woo stuff that happens now. And then sometimes you're just like, wait, what's happening here? I can't. What's going on?
Yeah. I think there's a point at which you decide you're going with it or not.
That's right.
You're like, I'm going with it. I'm going with it. I'm not going with it.
I got to get out of here.
I mean, obviously Nick is like fully, you know, fully buying into it, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, should we just start to go through this episode?
Yeah, let's
a
go
little
through it.
Bit because
let's do it.
There's so many parts of it that I was like, oh, they're just so smart how they put this one together. And that's so much credit to Kim because she's one
Kim's
of the best.
Super brilliant.
Yeah, one of the OG writers. She's the best. Yep. I also, mm-hmm. like, went back and paused to see who wrote it because I was like, this better be a woman. better be a female writer because there's a lot of like deep specifics about having your period. And of course, it was one of the best female writers. So it starts off that your broker, that Jess is broker than Schmidt, which is an all-time low in Schmidt's.
You mean broker than Nick?
Oh, broker than Nick.
Yeah. I'm broker. So, yeah. Jess is broker than Nick, which is like an all-time low.
And
she can't pay the gas bill, right?
Yeah. And it's funny where what does he say? He's like, you're basically trying to use like your period card to get stepping up to your responsibilities.
Well, first they're asking her to pay money that she doesn't have. And then she's like kind of putting off getting a job a little bit. And then they kind of push her too far. And she admits like, it's that time of the month. And I'm not like feeling like you guys pushing me this hard, you know?
One of my favorite lines in all of that is when Nick is going like, I don't think it's fair that women have an excuse once a month to act irrationally angry when the rest of us have to keep it together all the time. Like, I nearly needed to go out and buy a fainting couch because I was, because I forgot. I don't know, have this, you know, episode memorized. I don't know. And I was just sort of like, excuse me, if we're talking about anger issues, I don't think that the female of the species is the one that people look at and think of that for. And then Jess goes on a rant right back at him and says exactly that. So I kind of
you act irrationally angry 365 days.
That's
a year.
Right.
All the damn time. Nick calls Jess a ninny in this episode. Do you know what a ninny is?
I don't know, like the word origin of ninny.
I do. It's short for nincompoop.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nincompoop's such a great word. You don't need to shorten
it. It's a great word. You don't hear it very much. It's like a very old-fashioned word.
I like it.
But what is a nincompoop? Like, what is it? Is it like a stick in the mud? Like, is it a complainer? What is it? Like somebody who whines a lot?
I feel like if someone's a nincompoop, they're just being like a bit of a dummy. You're such a nincompoop.
Let's see. Should I look it up?
Look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Hang on.
We're going to bring it back.
We're going to bring it back. Let's find the exact definition.
I'm going to keep it in my back pocket. And the next one we do with Lamorne, if he says something crazy.
Oh, you're right. It's a foolish or a stupid person.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I know ninny is short for nincompoop. Yeah. Great word. Great word.
Great word.
So Jess says the Nick needs to be nice to her because she's PMSing. And then she sort of describes what it feels like to be PMSing. She feels like she's laid a million eggs and they're all hatching. She wants to murder someone and also eat a soft pretzel. That feels really accurate.
Yeah,
you know?
It was very accurate when she's like, yeah, devil's in my belly. I was just and to be honest with you, I feel like, I mean, I don't know if you felt like this from a young age, but women have been taught to kind of not talk about it. Hide it away. Pretend it's never happening. It's not like girls are volunteering to talk about it.
But it hurts. Okay.
But it's hurts.
It's not pleasant. It's so insane that you're not supposed to talk about it.
No. I remember being like PE in middle school and they're just like, run a lap. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Or we have to go to the nurse's office. All of it was just, it's so bizarre that the world hasn't made any like adjustments for people that are just standing there bleeding once a month. Yep. It's not like it happens rarely. It happens often. There should be a system of support.
It's happening to somebody at all times.
At all times. I was really happy. I remember when we did the table read for this episode that I was like, yeah, we should normalize this. Let's talk about it. Let this incredible woman who lives with three men say, let me paint a picture.
And let her inspire one of them to have his period too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let him be inspired.
He's like, it's the worst pain I've ever felt. It must be a period.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not childbirth, but it's not pleasant.
It's not
as bad as childbirth, but it's not pleasant, okay? Okay, so after this beginning scene, so basically Schmidt turns the gas off, and so they have no hot water. And so Jess basically needs to get a job so that she can get the money to get the gas turned back on and take a shower. I mean, that feels like very base level. Like, I mean, that's very motivating. Like, I'd be like, absolutely need to get a job.
It's very motivating, but it's one of those moments where you're like, I don't know a world where Schmidt wouldn't have a hot shower.
I think he's taking a shower at the gym, right?
Maybe. I mean, that's
he's taking a shower at the gym for sure, or his work. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He's got to be doing something.
Yeah, he's not missing out on a hygiene
and basic hygiene
for sure.
There's no way.
No.
There's also that great storyline that goes on with him and the incredibly talented, wonderful
Carla Gugino. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. He has a great storyline with her, and she's like another awesome boss lady in the
depraved.
In the amazing New Girl tradition of Schmidt's bosses.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. You're right. There's more to come.
Yes.
That felt like such like a left field thing, but I guess that was in the are you a good person or a bad person storyline that they're trying to figure out with Schmidt and Cece.
Yeah.
They're trying to sort it out.
I like that kind of you know, that when you're like, I'm not like, it's like that Cece so identifies with being a bad girl that she's like, both of them do, you know, that mm-hmm. that Cece kind of has to make peace with it to be with Robbie.
Yeah. I remember shooting that scene with Max on the edge of the bed. And the reason I remember it is he sneezed in the middle of this scene that we both struggled to take seriously, because it's just like a weird thing to do, you know, to be like, I'm bad, you're bad. It just like felt so weird to be like trying to really sell it. We were just like trying not to laugh, and then out of nowhere he sneezed and it blew my bangs fully back and caught me so off guard. And I remember saying, oh my God, I just got a glaucoma test, because it felt like it was just air, like, blew my eye
so
open.
Funny.
It was the most aggressive sneeze. And I still remember it to this day. And I watched that scene and I could see it's either the beginning of whatever part of my coverage of some part of the scene. You could see like this weird smile on my face. I'm like, oh, that must have been just after the sneeze. My eyes look like they're watering.
It's funny. A behind the scene thing I remember from this episode was that the day I shot that puppy in a cup scene, I think it was the day after the Emmys, and that I had gone, and it's like they always have them on a Sunday. And I'm like, this is the punishment for actors, because if you're working, you have to go to work at like 5 a.m. on a Monday. And if you want to like go and celebrate like at an award show, you're going to be out like later than you should be to wake up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I was so tired that it like made it really easy to be emotional about the puppy in a cup. It was actually perfect. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to go to work today? I'm really tired. And then I was like, this is perfect. Use it.
It was a great cry. Like, you do sell that cry. You feel it.
I was sad about the puppy in the cup.
You can tell. You can. I know how much you love dogs. So it was, you could really tell. And then when she says, yes, she was, you just see this look in your eyes where you almost draw back. Like, it's the best. It's so, I understand why it lives in the meme world. It's so good.
Memeable moments.
I really like that scene on the page. Was just really funny. It was just a really funny scene. It was such a well-written scene. Anyway, I digress. I just figured I would share another memory. Okay, so in the park, Nick meets Tran, played by Ralph Ahn, RIP. We lost
Ralph on last year, I believe. Yeah. And he was such a great addition to our New Girl extended cast members. And we remember him fondly. I think this was one of my favorite guest stars we ever had.
Yeah. It's really interesting because as you watch that scene where they're just, well, where Nick is just chatting at Tran on the bench, I feel like I could pick out moments that it was Jake improvising, because there's one line where he looks and goes, and you can just hear Jake's like voice, because he's like, are you just going to nod and laugh at everything I say? He just said it in a way. Now, look, it may have been written on the page. I'd have to go back and look at the script to see if that was written or if it was an alt or something. But the way he said it, it was like he was clocking how Ralph was going to do the scene. Do you know what I mean? Like where he's like, this is the character I've created and this is how I'm going to handle it. And Jake like clocks it as he's been doing alt after alt and line after line going, are you really just going to do that?
I think Jake did improvise a lot. That at least like the episodes going forward with Tran, like I'm pretty sure there was a lot of improvisation because it's just like, just because Tran doesn't really talk, it kind of gives like this blank slate to Jake and, you know. That's what's fun about it.
I mean, it's interesting, too, because we say Tran, but he never confirms that's his name.
Oh, yeah. He just
gives
smiles.
A look,
that's right.
I guess.
You're right.
It's just a look. And then Nick's like, I
got it.
The
fact that it's the fourth name he guesses, too. He's like, is your name like Jim? Scott, John, Tran. I'm like, wait a second. You only went through like four names and you came up with Tran.
Yeah, and he never gave you some like audible confirmation or a high five. I wonder how many times Tran speaks in New Girl, because he does say a line when they're at the water massage.
He does have a couple lines, but he says lines, but then I don't think they had him speak a lot later, because I think they hit on what was really funny about that relationship, and it's just like Nick talking nonstop and Tran like just being silent is very like a funny combination.
It's such a funny bit. Like, it's the only thing he says in this episode is you're a huge baby. Which I was like, if that's the only thing he says in this series, that's the funniest shit ever. If that's the only time we hear him speak. I feel like he says one thing at some point later in episodes. I guess we'll find out as we watch. But
yeah,
that cracked me up. I'm like, if that was your one line of the series, it was
you're
on point.
You're a huge baby.
And accurate.
It was on point. Yeah.
You have diagnosed this man.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
Okay, so Schmidt is falling for the vice president of his company, played by Carla Gugino. But what's funny, I think, in this scene with Schmidt, she makes him sign like a crazy contract so that they can have like a sexual relationship, I think. But let's see. Here are some things involved in the contract. Party A absolves Party B of any psychological trauma, whether temporary, permanent, future, or imagined. Possible exposure to lead paint. Do you have a latex allergy? Guaranteed mercury poisoning. That's what made me laugh. Guaranteed. Yeah. Some really funny stuff with Schmidt and Emma in this episode.
There's like such a new girl thing of like character writing that happens in this episode that I love, is that this could have so easily just been like a one-dimensional, you know, sex dominatrix boss, and that could have been it for this storyline. But at the end, when she's like tying him up, he sees that she's struggling and then calls her out on it being her first time. And you just watch Carla like have this real moment of vulnerability and then tries to like save herself in it. And I feel like that's why this show, people responded to it with this. There's always just like this little bit of heart. There's always like this little bit of just being a real person who doesn't have it all together, as opposed to just making her this flat character. And they could have ended like that. And I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then he kind of protects her in the moment. It's like a sweet, tiny thing, but I don't know. I thought it was really sweet in the writing.
It's funny because you and Schmidt are going through like opposite things. Mm-hmm. Like he's being pushed to like the like edgier side of himself, and you're being pushed to the more like wholesome side of yourself.
Right. And I think what eventually happens is we realize we can't live in either of those extremes, just being seen as like the good girl and just being good. That's hard. Yeah. That's actually like a hard thing to live up to. And then he discovers, you know, that for himself eventually too, that just being like the bad boy doing the crazy things, that's a hard world to just stay in all the time.
Yes. Yeah. So speaking of bad, Schmidt turns the gas off in the apartment. Mm-hmm. Now, what's funny is that he just like, look, I should know this, but like at the, it's like he just turns the gas off and then at the end he just turns it back on. Is that like even a thing? Like,
it isn't feels that,
doesn't
very
the gas
weird.
Company have to do that? Like,
well, he makes the phone call. Remember when he's calling and he's like, thanks, Denise. Thanks, Denise. And he's getting it turned off. So he makes a phone call to get it turned off.
But when
off.
He's turning it back on, isn't he like turning some kind of a switch or something? I'm like, does Schmidt like work for the gas company now?
Like, I think he's just turning the faucet, right? I think that's what was happening. Oh. Like, he's got it turned back on. They're doing a ceremonial thing. Then he turns the faucet and then they have to wait whatever it was, 6 to 10 minutes for the hot water to kick in.
Did we jump around to jump around like more than once on New Girl? I have multiple memories, I feel like, of jumping like that song.
It did feel familiar, but I didn't know if it was from this. But I don't feel like I've watched the ending of this episode more than like when it first came out and then when I've just done the rewatch.
I remember jumping around with Damon at some point, and I'm like, was that just like so I'm like, that had to have been like later, because like Damon wasn't in this episode and like he wasn't in the bathroom. Like, I remember being in the bathroom with Damon like jumping around, and I'm like, what is that, a created memory? Did somebody just like play that on set and we were just being stupid jumping around? That's,
you know what,
possible.
I do think that happened for sure.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people would play like music on set. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would get the late night zoomies.
Yeah. We definitely got late night zoomies a lot because we were there all the time. Yeah. Okay. So Schmidt turns off the gas, which means no one can take a shower and everyone is mad. Everyone has their periods now. And now Jess has to go to a meeting. You know, and then Nick is mad, and then Winston gets his period, right?
Yeah, and he calls it a sympathy period. I feel like, you know, they talk about it with pregnancy that, oh, you know, your partner can get like sympathy pains.
Yeah.
And that to me is totally insane.
Well, I think usually it's like the partner can gain weight with the, because there's more food being consumed.
I've had friends tell me that they're like, he's complaining to me that his like lower back hurts, like sympathy pains in the pregnancy, which I'm like, it feels like that should be on that show, like the 100 dumbest ways to die. Like, don't tell a pregnant woman that your lower back hurts.
Yeah.
No, you're fine. Yeah. So when he talks about having a sympathy period and you're actually having your period, I feel like Jess's response was very tempered and valid.
What did I say? I said something like,
don't steal my menzies.
Yeah, I said like, don't steal my shit or something.
Yeah, that's right though. That's right. It's like, you're men. You have all these other things. Don't take
take my one thing.
That's right.
But then it feels like at a certain point, then they're like experiencing things together.
Well, then they bond over it because that is the one thing when you're feeling emotional and hormonal. It's nice to have
someone else who feels the same
with.
Way.
Yeah, that's right. She's like, exactly. All right, I'll take it. If you're going to sit here and open up and be a real human with me, fine, call it what you want. Let's do it together.
Yeah. So Jess goes to the meeting, the job interview after not getting a shower, and then has the memeable puppy in a cup moment. Have you ever had a dog, Hannah, or just cats?
We rescued a dog when we lived in Cyprus once, a little German Shepherd, and I named her Zipper. And
that's cute.
She was very cute. And we had three rescue stray cats at the time that were like old street alley cats. And they were so mean and
to the
scared
dog?
Poor Zipper. Because we were scared. Aww. Zipper was a German Shepherd. So we're like, oh gosh, you have three cats at home. And we got it backwards. Those cats were like terrorized this little puppy. But thankfully, I think like my uncle ended up taking Zipper and it was all fine. But that's the only dog my family moved countries.
Do you hate dogs? What's your deal?
No, we just moved countries all the time. And so we just never really had
cats could hang, but dogs can't.
Like, well, we had the cats and I feel like the cats in Cyprus, but I didn't have them in like India or in Saudi Arabia. We didn't have them.
But I mean, as a grown up, you have cats.
I lived in apartment buildings where you could have a small cat.
Right.
I love animals.
But then
animals.
You had three, so I know about that. I won't tell.
I stuck them in. I was like, is anyone counting bodies up here? I was like, it's no,
does anybody? I'm like, this is a really small cat who hides all the time and is mean.
I mean, the apartment that we lived in Cyprus where we had the three alley cats and we had Zipper the dog. We also, at one point, I had like guinea pigs in the bathtub. We had bunny. Like, I love animals. Like, I could live on a farm with 1,000 animals. I would be so happy. Bring them all.
I don't want to take care of 1,000 animals, but it's funny because I actually, I really want a cat, but I've never had a cat. I love
We've
cats,
been talking though. About this since I met know. You because you wanted a Scottish Fold.
Yeah, I know. No, yeah. I love cats. I love them. I think they're so cute and they're so like, I like their personalities that they just don't care what you think of them.
Yeah, they're pretty easygoing. Little kitties. Yeah. Well, maybe. You never know. Could be in your future.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. My kids want a cat, so I think we'll get one. They started asking for another dog, but we already have a dog, and dogs are a lot more work than cats. So I'm like, how about a cat?
A goldfish.
How about a cat? Yeah. No goldfish because they're like, there's a lot of turnover, life turnover.
I was about to say, it's a lot of. A lot of
by turnover, I mean
swinging.
Dying.
Yeah.
And it's very disappointing. Every fish I ever had died like in a week. And I'd be like, what did I do?
That's true. Let's reduce the trauma. Get a cat.
Yeah. Get a cat. Cats want to live.
Speaking of swimming around in a very small water space.
Yes.
I wasn't there when you guys did this crazy water massage thing. What do you remember of it? Where was it? How weird did it get?
I want to say, where were we? It was like one of these places, like, because we shot on the Fox lot in LA. So whenever we shot on a location, it was like somewhere close by. I think we were shooting like maybe in a hotel, like jacuzzi or something, something like that. Makes indoor sense. Thing. That was close by. There are a bunch of hotels near Fox. I can't remember exactly where it was. I just know it was like an indoor jacuzzi, hot tub thing. I still have the swimsuit. That was my own personal swimsuit. Oh, do you? It's a really flattering swimsuit. That's why I'm like, I still have it. And it's funny because I even wore it when I was pregnant because I could put it on like underneath my giant pregnant belly. Uh-huh. That's a great swimsuit. Great swimsuit. That's what I remember. I remember that they had a couple of things where my stunt double was being like flipped really hard. They were like wanted him to flip me really hard. So my awesome stunt double came and Monica Bronger, she came in and doubled me for those more violent moments, and she was always an incredible addition to my character, helping me make those moments funny. And I do remember it was like one of those things we were kind of figuring stuff out in the moment, though. You know, there was like it was a little bit because that kind of part was written very last minute. There was a little bit of like on the day figuring, like where we were figuring stuff out on the day. And that was like one of the most fun things about the show, I think, was like, that we had those opportunities.
Yeah, there's a moment, I think, with you where he's like, I'm sorry, I touched your boob. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to touch the boob. Because he's grabbing and moving you around. And you had that, you could feel it when you're watching it, where you're like, nobody really knows really what they're doing in this scene, which is why yeah. it's so funny. Like, how far do you go? How hard is he going to try to really move her? And well, how much is she going to resist and go like, stop, like we're not
when
anymore.
Tran does it with him, he's like super gentle. And then when Nick does, he's just like a total maniac. Like, that's not water massage. That's like forced, like water acrobatics, you know?
There is a moment when it's, when Winston is doing it in the tag, where, because I know our show well enough to know it was probably going on for a little longer than it needed to go. and it's often the actors who would go like, I think we're good yeah. being, you know, dunked in the water a million times. But they end the episode with like some really crazy move happening on Lamorne. And then you like just like swimming off to the ladder, like walking off to the ladder. And I was like, I feel like that might have been Zoe being like, I think we're good, you guys.
Yeah, I've
been
in this pool
forever.
Well, also, I feel like we're just like running out of ideas. I don't have any funny things left to do here. Also, I don't feel that Lamorne loves the water. Is that right? He's not into like, that's not his happy place, I don't think.
No, I'm curious when he's going to drop us this voice note to talk about his take on the episode. I think that there were things that were challenging. I think. And one was the water and the other was having your period.
It's because like water and cats are his like
water,
very
cats,
much not happy place. Like,
and being a man with a period. It was.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
I think that was tricky because there's a moment in the beginning of the episode where Winston tells Schmidt, I have my period.
Yeah.
Like, you can't laugh. I'm going to tell you I have my period. And there are moments where I see Max's face, not Schmidt's, like trying to hold it together, but enjoying the fact that Lamorne has to give this speech about why he thinks he has a period.
And Lamorne, like, really, I was actually like looking for, like, in Winston, I was like looking for the break of like Lamorne, like, being annoyed that he had to pretend to have his period, but I didn't see it at all. So, like,
no, me neither.
Hats off to Lamorne for keeping it professional, but I don't know that any guy really likes to pretend to have their period, but you know what? We all have to deal with it, us ladies, you know? So it's just like, I don't feel so bad for you guys, like having to deal with it for like a few days.
I mean, yeah, I do think it's a nice moment at the end though, when he basically says like, oh, I just like, I miss Shelby, and you realize like, oh, this pain in him hurts so bad and is making him feel angry and emotional, and he's starting to relate to all the things that Jess is saying she feels, that he thinks that you know, it's the, I don't know, he can relate to it so deeply.
Yeah.
He just needed a word for all the feelings, and it was sympathy, period.
And now, did you find a bear here?
Now it's time for Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear is brought to you by Hyundai. When it comes to your journey, Hyundai is thinking of every mile. Season 2 has been a bit of a challenge, but thanks to my friends who are on the same bear quest as me,
ooh,
there is a framed teddy bear in your interview scene. Thank you so much. So I felt very relieved. Where's the bear? We found it. It's going to be a fun thing to continue to do this for the series, because I'm that kind of person where I'm watching something and my mind can go on little tangential, you know, tracks. And it keeps me focused because I'm trying to solve a mystery the entire time I'm watching.
Yeah, I just don't remember anytime I'm rewatching any of these episodes until we're talking about it. And I go, oh, I have to ask Hannah about the bear. I'm just glad it's not me that has to look for it.
I enjoy it so much, man, being a virtual bear hunter. I dig it. Thanks for helping us with our bear hunt, Hyundai. Remember, with Hyundai, it's all about the journey. Whatever your destination, they've got the latest tech to get you there safe and keep your passengers entertained along the way. From shopping to buying to owning, Hyundai has your back. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Do you have any other special memories shooting this episode? Any like Robbie memories or?
The scene that we do in the bar with Nelson and Max and myself, it was just Nelson Franklin is, as everybody knows, I mean, he's been on the podcast now and they know him from all of his wonderful work, but he's just like the most lovely person.
And he is. He's so nice.
Not a better feeling than when you look at the call sheet and see who's coming into work that day. And it's just someone who's just going to make the day better. And the moments in between takes and in between scenes, you know, you're going to have like a good chat and a catch up and they just make you feel really good. So I know myself well enough to see there's like an ease in my body, you know, to be like, oh,
yeah,
my friend Nelson's here. So
yeah,
that was just always so nice. And it's just amazing how those people that we like connected with and became such good friends with are the ones I feel like that stayed in the series and just kind of got woven into the new girl world.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, one of the first of those, and which is great. And then, yeah. And then Trans in this too, that character. Yeah. There's a like introduction right here in the beginning, I feel like, of our show where so many people stuck around and it was the good ones.
Yeah, it was an introduction of a lot of good characters.
Yeah.
I mean, Nelson wasn't introduced, but in this episode, but it was nice to have him.
Yeah. Trina
was introduced.
Season two, they kind of fit. They started to build the world out.
A lot of good ones in the season. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, which was awesome.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. And after we take a break, we're going to do True American, guys.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for True American.
American.
Regular listeners know that we've switched up the game a little bit when we have a guest on the show. So now we try to get the truth of their experience on the show. We don't have a guest, but we have Hannah and me. In this episode, Nick visits a spa for what is likely to be the first time in his life. He enjoyed the soaking tub. What's the best spa treatment for beginners? What do you think?
Ooh, here's what I will say. I don't know. I'm not a regular spa goer, but I have had a couple awkward incidents that have taught me that when you go to a spa, to be really specific.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to relax.
Yeah.
I remember someone got me a massage, one of my first ones or whatever, and I went and they were like, would you like a male or a female? You know?
And you're like, I don't care.
I don't care, Zoe, is what I said. I said, I don't care. And in walked, and I can say this because it's all the men in my family are like this, a very hairy, all the way down to the knuckles man. And all I could feel on my body the entire time was just a bear rug being rugged all over. And I did not enjoy it. It wasn't for me. I'm sure it's for a lot of people, but I didn't need to be exfoliated by body hair.
Right.
And I remember trying to sit up really quickly to be like, I forgot I had a meeting. I gotta go. And I did it in a way where I turned my head out of the thing that you rest your face in. And, cricked my neck so hard that I couldn't.
Oh, you needed another massage.
You learn your lesson.
No.
Just know what will feel good to you. Be specific.
I think a good first spa treatment is a manicure.
Nice.
A manicure. And the first thing, because pedicure, it's tickly.
That's right. That's true.
The first time I had a pedicure, I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing hysterically and it was really embarrassing. And I'm like, woohoo. So you need to ease into pedicure and a massage that sometimes they get up in your bits and it's a little bit, you're like, whoa,
oh,
that's a little bit familiar, you know? So, I think first start with a manicure. It's pretty safe. It's not tickly. They're not getting up in your bits. And, the only advice I have is make sure you're going to a place that's extremely clean and sanitary.
That's right.
Cause I'm always one time I was at a place and I watched the person put a tool for a manicure on the floor. And I was like, no.
No, thank you.
Floor? No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was no thanks. Luckily they weren't doing me, but then I was I won't be going back to this place because No. Yeah. So anyway, go to a super clean place for a manicure and you will hopefully enjoy it.
And bring
my advice.
Bring company. If you go for a manicure, bring someone you want to have a good old chit-chat with. That's a nice
I totally
place.
Agree. Because like you can't, it's like you can't use your hands to like, you know, scroll through your emails or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, or if you don't have someone to chit-chat, listen to this podcast.
That's right. Let us be your buds.
Let us be your bud. Bring your earphones and catch up on Welcome to Our Show.
Yeah, we won't get up in your bits.
And once you're done, maybe buy some merch so that you can represent.
That'd be great. Well, we solved the world's problems in the spa world.
That's right.
We put Menzies front and center. Yep. We should all be talking about it.
I hope you guys play it super loud in Florida. this is the episode to cure all the ills in the world.
Yeah. Well, this was fun hanging out a girls episode.
I know. This was fun. Thanks for hanging out. And we hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll catch you next time.
Love you, though.
Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.